Gentlemen, the case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next in Dow Chemical Company against the United States. That's a help.
Who was it? Bill Bivens? I can't remember.
Ms. Gutti, I think you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, this is a Fourth Amendment administrative search case where Dow is asking this Court to reinstate the District Court's holding that EPA's action both exceeded its statutory authority under Section 114 of the Clean Air Act and that EPA's actions amounted to an unreasonable search in violation of the Fourth Amendment. On cross-motion for summary judgment, and as the trier of fact, the District Court found that the Dow facility in Midland, Michigan, was a highly secured commercial facility. It was not an open field. The District Court also found that EPA's action amounted to a search, a fact which the government admitted both in its brief and its oral argument. The District Court also found that the EPA's photographs contained vivid detail to the point of depicting items and equipment as small as 1/2 inch in diameter. And the Court found that the camera saw much more than the human aerial eye or mind could ever see. In September of 1977, EPA conducted a 3-hour on-site inspection of the two powerhouses at Dow's Midland facility. That was done in continuing preparation for Clean Air Act enforcement action and to confirm the EPA's suspicion that the two powerhouses did, in fact, violate the Clean Air Act.
An on-the-ground inspection?
Yes, it was, Justice Brennan. Mm-hmm. And during that inspection, the EPA people received full cooperation from Dow personnel. They saw everything they wanted to see. They were denied nothing. In fact, after the inspection, at EPA's request, Dow submitted drawings and schematics to the EPA depicting the powerhouse, the powerhouses, the equipment in the powerhouses, and the areas surrounding the powerhouses. The EPA enforcement engineer testified that after that September inspection, he needed no further information from or about Dow to confirm his suspicions that the powerhouses were in violation of the Act. 3 months later, in early December of 1977, Dow received a phone call from the EPA requesting a repetitive on-site inspection with a camera. Dow refused that request, told the EPA that we'd not allow non-Dow cameras inside the fence line, and the possibility of EPA's getting a warrant was discussed. In fact, after the phone call, a Dow attorney called the U.S. Attorney's Office in Bay City, Michigan, and told that office that if the EPA approached the office and was going to try to seek a warrant, that Dow would appreciate the opportunity to be there and be heard. 2 months after that refusal of the second on-site inspection, knowing that Dow refused consent for a second on-site inspection, knowing that Dow objected aerial photographs or the photographs of its plant, and knowing of its duty to resort to the court, the EPA ignored Dow's constitutional and statutory rights and ignored its duty to seek judicial oversight and acquired surreptitiously.
Well, isn't the question in the case whether it had such a duty? You say it ignored this duty, but isn't that the issue?
Yes, Justice Stevens, the issue is whether there was a search.
Yeah.
The EPA had tried to come onto Dow property to conduct a search and had been turned away after there had been one consensual voluntary inspection. The District Court found that there was a search. In fact, the government admitted in both the oral argument and the brief that it had conducted a search in conducting the flyover. The District Court also found that the EPA's actions exceeded its statutory inspection authority under Section 114. Now, on appeal by the government to the Sixth Circuit agreed with the District Court that Section 114 of the Clean Air Act does not explicitly authorize aerial photography as a site inspection technique. But the district court, ignoring the plain language of the statute, ignoring the obvious congressional intent of providing the owner's notice, without citation to any authority, held that the Act did not impliedly forbid aerial photography. Dow thinks that's —
Ms. Scooty, what if the EPA inspector here had been able to go to a nearby hilltop and just look over the fence? Do you think the statute prohibits that?
No, we do not, Justice O'Connor.
Why is it any different if they fly over the premises?
Dow has absolutely no objection to a naked eye viewing of its plant from anywhere that the government or the public may have a right to be. Our objection in this case is that it's similar to the Caro case. The EPA used intrusive technology, abused technology.
Okay, so you have no objection to the flying over and taking a look. But to the your sole objection is to the taking of the photographs?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And that's both constitutional and statutory. Under the statute, the taking of pictures, the capturing of the extreme intrusive detail to the size of a half inch in diameter, deprives Dow of the notice that an inspection has occurred and deprives Dow of the opportunity to claim confidential business information.
Would you object to standing on the hillside with a camera?
Justice Brennan, that's an interesting hypothetical. Midland, Michigan is very flat. But if there were a hillside and the EPA could have apparently legal access to it and could look at the plant, we do not object to that. We don't object to
Or taking pictures from that spot.
Not necessarily. I think the real question is the degree of intrusion.
And it'd be more with a camera from a hillside as well as on the flyover?
I think it depends on the camera. There was a recent case in California.
Well, let's take it that they have one of these. I don't own one, but one of these very that pick up everything.
Generally, a lateral view from the ground is the view that Dow has chosen to give. We know that people can drive by and look at our plant.
Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
As we go into the sky at varying levels, it's going to depend more and more on the degree of intrusion. I think it's the distinction.
Well,
forgive
me. I don't quite understand your answer. If one is equipped with a camera and there is a hilltop and they can photograph from that spot the things that were photographed by the flyover, would that be objectionable?
I have to come back to the degree of intrusion. If we're on level ground, not even with a hilltop, and the police or the inspection officials take a picture through my living room window, which they can see just standing on the street, and use a telephoto lens and get detail, as they did in the Kim case, to see what I'm doing in my living room, that's an unconstitutional search.
Well, what about an airplane? We read and hear, whether they're accurate or not, stories about the phenomenal accuracy of photography now from 3-4 miles up. Suppose not directly above the Dow plant, but without trespassing on the airspace of the Dow plant, pictures are taken from an angle at 12, 15, 18,000 feet and disclose everything that was disclosed here. Is that bad?
Yes, it is. It's very bad.
You mean it's the taking of the picture, not the invasion of your airspace?
Exactly. We have no problem with the public or the government making use of the airspace. I think that the fact that they used an airplane is like the fact that they can use a car. We have no problem with people driving by the plants, but if they use the car to ram through our gate and get in, we have a problem with that.
Do you object to any enhancement of the person's normal senses in making an inspection?
No, Your Honor, I think that there's some parts to inspections that society has deemed reasonable. For instance, in sampling emissions, obviously something has to be used to capture the effluent or the smoke or something and then test that. That is a use of technology, but it's a use of technology with Dow's notice. And we can split samples, we can run the same test, we can give them things to look at.
What about a case like the following of an automobile by the use of a beeper, which this court has said was all right under the Fourth Amendment, and yet the police with their natural senses might have lost track of the vehicle they were trying to follow.
Except that I think the distinguishing factor is this Court has held that the police could have followed it with their visual sense. And it's only when that technology intruded into the home in the Carroll case and the visual senses could not have intruded the way the technology did, they couldn't have depicted the critical information without a warrant or without consent. And I think the existing holdings of this Court, Western Alfalfa is probably the best case in Dow's defense.
Before you go on, may I put another hypothetical that I suspect you will say is difficult? One reads in the media that a satellite flying 100 miles, not 20,000 feet, but 100 miles above the Earth can identify a tennis ball on a tennis court. These satellites are up there every day, Soviet and American. If these pictures had been taken by an unfriendly actor at 100 miles up, would that make any difference?
Justice Powell, an excellent hypothetical and one we've obviously thought about, the distinction that I think this Court should stay away from is the spatial relationship. I don't think it matters whether it's 1,000 feet up or 100 miles up.
It's really a matter of purpose.
It's purpose, and in this case, that's mostly military satellites that have that capability, and that's usually top-secret information. I think the civilian satellites have a resolution of about 10 meters. With the new French system, the SPOT system, coming in at maybe 4 meters. The problem here, though, is that we have a governmental administrative agency with specific statutory authority and who are bound by the Constitution.
But may I interrupt you just to follow up on Justice Powell's question? You say it doesn't matter if it's 1,000 feet or 100 miles. What if it's 100 feet? What if it's a helicopter?
Then we get into problems with the FAA regulations.
No. The helicopters are not bound by the 1,000-foot regulation. That doesn't apply. It applies to fixed-wing aircraft.
I think that the question there, although it's not binding on this Court, has been answered in the case of People versus Sneed in California, where a helicopter did descend 20 feet above a residential backyard, and that was clearly held to be an intrusion into the...
Is that your view, even though you descend low enough so you can just see with the naked eye and see the same half-inch pipes, would that be a violation? And if so, why?
I think it would be an unreasonable violation. We would still have the same statutory problems.
I understand. I'm just directing at the Fourth Amendment.
On the Fourth Amendment issue, I think it would be obviously an unreasonable intrusion into a...
What makes it so obvious?
The Western Alfalfa case, they're somehow in Caro, they're using technology to...
But no, I'm suggesting no technology, naked eye.
Well, the helicopter itself is technology.
Oh, so is an automobile. But I thought you said planes were like automobiles.
Right, that we have no problem if they're used in the normal events that society accepts. But if they're used as a battering ram or as an invading tool, then we have a problem.
I really have some difficulty. You cannot look from helicopters at a low altitude.
You obviously can look.
I mean, cannot constitutionally. The police are constitutionally disabled from flying around in helicopters at low altitude.
I think that they would have it would be an invasion of privacy, just as in Normal versus Mullen, the use of helicopters to go down and look at in people's windows and in their backyards was an invasion of privacy. I don't think that Americans...
And that's because a helicopter is a sophisticated device, is that it? Just as though it were a high-powered telescope.
Well, I would draw back from the exact technology utilized and focus in on the fact that it's an unreasonable intrusion into a reasonable expectation of privacy. We don't expect our government in this country to operate that way. It offends... notions of justice and fair play.
What about catching speeders by following with a helicopter?
Well, they have a moving car from whatever height is, I think, plainly visible with the naked eye.
We'll resume there at 1 o'clock, counsel.
Thank you.
proceed.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, we've been discussing various types of aerial overflights. One thing we need to make clear is that there's one of the distinguishing factors in this case is the intrusive aerial photographs taken by EPA. This was no brief, non-intrusive investigation. It was intrusive and, contrary to being brief, the agency, if they had access to these photographs, captured the interior details of Dow's facility, and they're still on paper. They'll be on paper until someone destroys these photographs, which are, in fact, equivalent of good engineering drawings. Now, the Sixth Circuit agreed with the district court that Dow has a reasonable expectation of privacy from ground-level intrusions. And then an apparent flip-flop and an inconsistency in its opinion, the court held that from the air, Dow is an open field, that it has no reasonable expectation of privacy. If the — I direct the Court's attention to photograph 3 in the sealed joint appendix, which is a Dow photograph which depicts a naked-eye type viewing of the Dow facility. The Dow facility, the 2,000-acre fenced, secured, including security that watches for suspicious aircraft. Photograph 3, Justice Brennan, is a Dow photograph. It's the type of photograph that after our management has a chance to take a look at it, that we, in fact, take. Our management looks at it, says, that's no problem. That's the same as a naked eye view. It's the type of photograph that we release to the press. Now, in contrast to that, photographs 1 and 2 in the sealed joint appendix are two of the actual EPA photographs. These are the pictures that our plant manager looked at with a handheld magnification and said he could see items and equipment 1/2 inch in diameter. Now, in photograph 2, or photograph 1, the upper part of the photograph, it is easy to see electrical wires and their shadows, which is the size of a small finger. And that is the degree of intrusive detail that EPA captured in these pictures.
What caused the difference in degree between 1 and 2 on the one hand and 3 on the other? Is it the level of flight of the airplane, the type of camera? Or?
No, Justice Rehnquist, it is not the level of the flight. They were taken at approximately the same level, about 1,200 feet. It's the angle. The Dow picture is an oblique angle, which means you're looking in from the side. The EPA picture is a vertical angle, straight down, as would an engineering drawing be, a straight down shot.
Well, now, does that have Fourth Amendment implications, whether it's an oblique angle or straight down, do you think?
Not directly in the Fourth Amendment. It buttresses Dow's position that the pictures are intrusive, that they don't serve a law enforcement purpose, and that society would not recognize them as reasonable because they depict our trade secrets. And if the Dow facility is held to be an open field.
If you're just talking about whether or not they serve a law enforcement purpose, I would think that photographs 1 and 2 serve that purpose better than photograph 3.
Well, Your Honor, photographs 1 and 2, the EPA was specifically looking for emissions from the powerhouse. The powerhouse.
Well, you say that isn't a law enforcement purpose?
It's a law enforcement intent, but the photograph showed no plume from the powerhouse. As stated on page 31 of the sealed joint of the joint appendix, the photographs showed no plume, and they were worthless to the agency in the enforcement action.
So the test, then, is whether what they're going to be looking for in the way of emissions are happening that day or not?
That's not the Fourth Amendment test. That is one of the factors that shows that they were, in fact, engaged in a search. They intended to get evidence for use in an enforcement action. Now, what I started talking about a minute ago about the detail is it's the reasonable expectation of privacy that society accepts as reasonable. The agency thought they had a need, but they didn't get any good evidence. Dow has a need to protect its assets, its confidential business information. If the Dow facility is held to be an open field, number one, there's little land in the United States that isn't in that case. But number two, as this Court recognized in the Kewaunee oil case, to even make an allegation that there's a trade secret, an owner has to show that they've taken steps to preserve the secrecy.
Ms. Guti, may I ask you in that connection, what would a Dow Chemical Company do if one of its competitors, using a private aircraft, took the same pictures? Would you bring a trespass action against it or charge the competitor with a criminal intrusion, entering and breaking a private residence or what?
Justice Powell, under Michigan state law, we have make out an indictment under the criminal laws of Michigan for the taking of trade secrets by improper means. We also have a civil action, and the restatement of torts is recognized in the DuPont versus Christopher case and is recognized by this court in the Kewaunee Oil case. Aerial photography is a recognized way of taking trade secrets. Now, for that to happen, for the court to say, yes, that's a way to do it, obviously they have to be somehow exposed to the sky. Otherwise, it's nonsense. And this is what we have in this case.
Well, the government didn't make use of the photos in any way that constitutes a violation of laws concerning trade secrets, did it?
No, Justice O'Connor, not that we know of. The photographs were displayed on walls in EPA's Chicago offices for roughly a month, but the use of a trade secret or confidential business information is not required for Fourth Amendment violation.
Has there been any use made of the photos by the government at all, to your knowledge?
Other than the fact that we don't know what happened to them that one month in Chicago, no, there has not. They have been under seal since April the 7th of 1978.
Do I understand you that if you can see into the plant, that's okay, but if you take a picture of what you see, that's wrong?
Yes, Justice Marshall. From the road, from ground level, the view that is shown of the plant is the view that Dow has chosen to show to the public. From an aerial perspective,
I'm talking about that exact same spot where the person was standing, and legally, according to you, viewing it, he couldn't take a picture or not.
He'd probably take a picture on the facts. It'd be hard to get. The plant, we're talking open-air plants. The plant is like a small city. We go from
well,
first
I don't see how you can understand. I'm standing and I can see, and I put a camera and do the exact same thing. That's wrong.
If you get the exact same thing, that's okay. That's our photograph 3. That's our naked eye. That's a picture
so
of what you would see with the naked eye.
The harm is the camera?
No, the harm is the degree of intrusion. It's using technology to depict critical details that you couldn't get.
Well, is that done by the camera?
In effect, but cameras only operate through
well,
people.
Well, what is the technology that you're complaining about?
We're not complaining about technology. We're
well,
complaining
what
about
are
the
you,
government's intrusion.
Well, then what are you complaining about?
That the government exploited technology, as it did in the Caro case.
Then you're objecting to the technology.
Well, this certainly isn't a case against aerial photography, just like a murder case isn't against the gun.
The camera's not a gun.
Exactly. What we're complaining about, Justice Marshall.
That's exactly why I don't understand you.
Let me try to make myself more clear then. Dow's problem in this case is that after we had cooperated with the EPA, after we had taken every step that we
don't know how far you cooperated. When they asked to come in, you tell them no.
Well, that was their second repetitive inspection. Well, I guess we take a different point of view because we had cooperated with them. They had a 3-hour on-site inspection. This was, in fact, part of a long interaction with the agency on the power plant emissions. And maybe to cut this line of questioning a little bit short, I would refer the court to the Dow versus EPA decision by the Sixth Circuit on the enforcement action at 635 Fed Second 559. And I think it's the Sixth Circuit explains more of the interaction between Dow and the agency, and there is quite a bit of cooperation.
May I ask you a couple of questions? Supposing the problem were either emissions from a stack or water, some chemical being discharged into water and eventually into water pollution, and that you couldn't see it except by flying over the plant. But if you do fly over the plant, you could see a discoloration of water or maybe some smoke coming out of a very tiny smokestack. Would it be illegal and unconstitutional under your view for the government to fly over and just look and see if that was happening?
No, it would not, Justice Stevens.
Even your plant with all the — and supposing you had to fly at a very low altitude to do that, but they got permission of the FAA or something so they could fly low enough to take a look. Would it still be all right?
That — it's — crossing the line that we got to before lunch, it's In our perspective, ordinary overflights are reasonable. Extraordinary overflights are not reasonable.
What do you mean by extraordinary?
Extremely low level or an aircraft hovering low to the ground. Something that's outside the ordinary conduct of the police or citizens. Well, and that's, you know, remembering that the agency is bound by the both bound
and forget authorized. The statute for a minute. I'm just talking about the constitutional question. But supposing they could fly at 1,000 feet then, and they could not be sure but the naked eye, but they could take a picture just like you did and then magnify the picture and look at it. That's bad, you see?
They were flying at 1,000 feet.
1,000 feet. They look down the naked eye. They can't really detect the coloration of the water very well, but they take a picture figuring they can study it, you know, have it enlarged and look at it more closely, and then they could figure out. That's unconstitutional.
Yes, it is, because the aerial photography, well, that's presuming that the picture shows more detail than the human eye can detect.
Well, it shows, it enables them to make darn sure that there's some discoloration of the water. What about smoke coming out of the smoke jet? They couldn't quite see it with their naked eyes, a little foggy or something, but they take a picture and they study it and they find out. That's unconstitutional.
Well, it's unconstitutional because of the degree of intrusion into areas that they're not authorized to go. It's unreasonable.
But you don't have any control over the airspace.
No, we don't. But we under the Fourth Amendment, we have control over the privacies of our corporate existence. And that's what we're trying to establish today. The photographs here, in the nature of aerial photography, it's like a wiretap on a public phone. You get whoever uses the phone. Here, they flip the switch on. The run begins. They got not only Dow Chemical, they photographed Dow Corning, Consumers Power, and the entire city of Midland. And that strikes me as a search, the type that was carried out in Ybarra versus Illinois, where they saw a criminal run into a bar. They thought the person was in there, so they frisk everybody. It's just massively intrusive and repugnant.
You think it's wrong to fly around airplanes looking for emissions that pollute the air?
No, I don't, but I think there are more reasonable ways of doing it, such as was recognized in Western Alfalfa, or by asking the Dow Chemical Company under Section 114A. If we're required to keep records and the EPA wants to see those records, they, at any point in time, they can ask us. And we have no Fifth Amendment privilege.
That you would give the government everything that they got by these pictures if they asked for it?
No, we are not, Your Honor, because they went far beyond the scope of the statute. Under Section 114, they're limited to three types of investigations on the site. 114 is a notice statute, the same as the Fourth Amendment. And we should probably note that as a notice statute, not only was Dow deprived of notice of what the EPA did, but the EPA employees themselves, who are criminally liable if they disseminate trade secrets under 18 U.S.C. 1905. Thank you.
Mr. Horowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. Let me first address the issue that came up several times during petitioner's argument as to whether EPA conducted a search here. Obviously, the ultimate issue in this case is whether there was a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. But she has suggested that we conceded in the Court of Appeals that there was a search here, and of course that's true. There was a search in the layman's normal use of the term, that is, EPA was looking for something. That's what law enforcement agencies do all the time. They can look at cars on the street to see if one matches the description that is of the car that fled a robbery. That's a search, of course, but it's not a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. A search that's regulated by the Fourth Amendment is one that invades a reasonable expectation of privacy. And that's what the ultimate issue in this case is. It's our position that the overflight here and the photography did not invade any reasonable expectation of privacy. Maybe the best way to frame the issue is to look at the way that Dow has chosen to define its facility. They've taken issue with the government's characterization of it as an outdoor plant. On page 4 of their reply brief, they define it this way. The plant here is a three-dimensional commercial structure which encompasses the production equipment and know-how, and which does not have a traditional roof.
Mr. Horowitz, it would help me if we could sort of sharpen the focus of this case. My understanding is that Dow is not arguing that the Constitution necessarily would forbid an overflight just to take a picture of a beautiful plant. I understand its position is that it has trade secrets that cannot be covered under a roof because of the nature of the secret. I have no idea what that is. So well, if you would focus your attention on a company protecting a trade secret, and when there's no other option but an overflight, what is the government's answer to that?
Well, I'd be happy to talk about trade secrets now, if you like. I should, at the outset, mention I had understood, certainly when I did the brief in this case, that the whole crux of their claim was that there were trade secrets in the plan, and we devoted quite a bit of attention to that in our brief. In the reply brief, Dow says that our discussion of trade secrets misses the point, that it is the intrusive surveillance of detail beyond the purview of the naked eye that constitutes the Fourth Amendment violation. The Fourth Amendment violation exists independently of the capturing of any Dow trade secrets. So they do seem to take the position that whether or not they're trade secrets or not.
But if they're trade secrets, that cannot be covered up.
All right. Well, let me assume that there are some sort of at least proprietary information there. First of all, I think we would say that it's in fact not a secret. And the fact is that it's exposed to the view of anyone who can fly over. And there is I don't know that there's any real law on the question of whether it's a trade secret under statutes, but I think it probably would be found not to be a trade secret under the statutes. In any case, assuming that it is found to be a trade secret, even though it is open to the public, the fact is that EPA has not taken any trade secret. The trade secret that they're discussing in here is something that is revealed through this extreme magnification of these photographs that Dow themselves did and that are shown to you in the sealed joint appendix. EPA didn't blow up these photographs. They weren't even looking at the chemical plant that is the focus of this trade secret claim. They were looking at the power plants. The chemical plant happened to be next door, and it was captured on the photographs. But a trade secret has been revealed to the government in this case only in the sense that there is some potentiality for the government to actually discover it by using examination. It's a little bit like the issue in Knotts or in Caro, where the court found that the mere installation of a beeper was not a Fourth Amendment violation. It wasn't until you actually monitored it that you had transformed the potential to conduct some sort of a search into actually doing it. Third, I would say that all of the trade secret legislation, which is basically directed at unfair competition, not at the things that the Fourth Amendment is aimed at, all of that is directed at the unfair use of the information. If EPA was planning to build a chemical plant and copy these pipe configurations that we're assuming are secrets, then there might be some basis for a trade secret claim here. But there's no suggestion that EPA is going to do that. They're using these pictures for the purpose of enhancing their investigation of Clean Air Act violations. And the fact that there's a trade secret there is basically completely irrelevant. It's the same as if somebody would throw some sort of invention that he would call a trade secret in the middle of his marijuana field and then claims that the government can't fly over his field and take a picture of it because they're capturing a trade secret on the picture.
Well, but what if the government, I know it's not true in this case, but what if there were a secret that the government was interested in acquiring, went over, took a picture, and then went ahead and developed its own plant to make whatever the chemical might be or something? Could you claim that was a seizure?
Well, I think the claim is probably I'm not sure I would agree with it, but I think it's probably more of a taken claim than anything else. And there was a Fifth Amendment claim in this case that was dismissed without prejudice and that they can bring if the government was actually going to use this information. The court, I guess, was considering that sort of an issue in Monsanto last year, but there's no suggestion of that here. I would say that, again, though, I doubt that it is a trade secret. I mean, that's a question of tort law. I think also, more generally, the reason why this might arguably be a trade secret has nothing at all to do with the Fourth Amendment. I mean, there is a sense that corporations are entitled to maintain the fruits of their research and development. They spend a lot of money developing these sorts of secrets, and it is unfair competition, in a sense, or maybe unfair competition for a competitor to just take the fruits of their labor and then use it without infusing the same amount of funds. Now, that principle is limited by what the competitor or the inventor of the trade secret is required to disclose to the public, because it is a clear recognized principle of trade secret law that if you've developed something and put it into a product and it's a secret at that time, but if a competitor can figure out through what's called reverse engineering, by dissecting the product that is found on the market, figure out how it was made, and basically acquire all the information that you developed through your research, that is not a violation of trade secret statutes. So, again, I'm not sure there's really a secret here. But the reasons for having these kind of unfair competition statutes don't have to do with the Fourth Amendment. It's easy to see that conduct that might be considered unfair competition under the trade secret laws would not clearly not be considered a Fourth Amendment violation. One example is the use of an informant, which government law enforcement agencies do all the time, and that's not considered to violate the Constitution. On the other hand, most trade secret statutes suggest that if you have a spy in another plant or you somehow convince an employee of another plant to change loyalties and give you trade secrets, that is considered unfair competition. I think another example is the Christopher case that was cited, the Fifth Circuit case that was cited by Dow Chemical in its brief. That's a case where one company was building a plant and a competitor flew over and took aerial photographs of it before the plant was completed, before they had a chance to put the roof on, basically, although they were putting a roof on it, kind of snuck in there, and the Fifth Circuit said that was dirty pull in the trade secret context, and they considered unfair competition. Even in that context, I can't believe if the state had sent a plane over to check for building code violations that it thought was threatening the safety of the employees who were going to be working in that plant, that that would be considered to violate the Fourth Amendment. They're just not taking trade secrets. They're looking for other information. And finally, I would make one more point about the trade secret claim, and that is that it doesn't really address what the issue is here, because what they're claiming, I take it, is that the EPA overflight in photography was some sort of a search that required EPA to get a warrant. They're not suggesting that the government, under no circumstances, could have conducted this overflight. But if we did get a warrant to look for these emissions, we would have exactly the same pictures of Dow's plant, and we would have exactly the same trade secrets, and they would have exactly the same problem. The relief that they're seeking here of forcing EPA to get a warrant just doesn't at all address this sort of complaint that they have. So that was sort of a long answer, Justice Powell, but I think really the trade secrets have very little to do with this case. It's really
but it wouldn't have been very burdensome on the government to obtain an administrative warrant, would it, really?
It wouldn't be much of a burden.
It wouldn't have been burdensome to have obtained, as you did in Barlow, an administrative warrant.
Well, you're setting up a whole new regime, basically, where you have to have magistrates involved in this, and you have to decide what sort of showing has to be made by the government in order to do it. This was not a routine regulatory inspection. It was one that was made in connection with a specific investigation of the plan. I think they probably could have gotten a warrant from a magistrate.
This whole area is very puzzling in light of scientific developments. Think about all the buildings you now see that are made entirely of glass. I'm glad I don't live in one of them, but I suppose with the right sort of photography, you could take pictures of whatever you wanted inside those buildings if they were anywhere near the windows. And I wonder whether that would involve or implicate the Fourth Amendment. I'm not talking about a private home. I'm talking about...
Yes, I understand. Well, I think you're right. Technology has changed the world we live in to some extent. I mean, aerial photography today is a fact of life. There are affidavits in the record. We've mentioned some of them in our brief. All sorts of government agencies use aerial photography all the time for mapping, geological purposes. And it's not just government agencies. If you go to a real estate office, you'll find that they like to take aerial photographs of real estate subdivisions so that they can show people where houses are located and what things look like. People are being photographed all the time, and Dow knows that. This is not a case where they really had an expectation that they would not be photographed from the air. They've said several times in their brief that they had this whole elaborate system for looking for planes flying overhead so they could try to figure out who was photographing them and, I guess, try to take some steps to discourage them from doing it or to keep track of whether the photography was being used. But they certainly can't seriously be contended that they had an subjective expectation of privacy, that they weren't going to be photographed from the air here. Their news cameras are photographing them. In fact, there's this Business Week article that's referenced in their brief where that's about 6 weeks ago from October, where they mention that that's a photograph that they supplied to Business Week. Actually, I spoke to the reporter for Business Week because I was curious where she'd gotten the photograph, and she told me that they didn't really like the photograph that Dow had given them, and they'd gone ahead and taken their own. There's just nothing to keep people from doing it. What Dow's
Horowitz,
position is.
Do you think the standard should be the same in flying over an industrial complex of this type as it should for the police to fly over someone's residential backyard and take photographs? Is it really the same standard?
If anything, I think it's a lesser standard. I mean, there may be more of an expectation of privacy in the backyard. There's the companion case to this one that will be coming up next, where it's undisputed that that was within the curtilage of the home, where the overflight and the photographing took place. Here, we have a footnote in our brief discussing whether this qualifies as curtilage or not. I think there's an argument that it's not curtilage at all here, but we've been willing to assume for purposes of this case that it can be treated the same because we feel there's no expectation of privacy in any event. Basically, what Dow's position is that they have their property, they build things on their property, and they don't want people to take pictures of it. Wow. I understand that position from a layman's perspective. I have some sympathy for it. I feel the same way sometimes. I have a backyard. Neighbors can see into my backyard, and occasionally things happen in my backyard that I say to myself, gee, I hope the neighbors aren't watching. That's a hope, but I don't have any expectation that they're not watching, and I don't expect the Fourth Amendment to keep them from watching. I mean, what Dow has done here is they've built a facility, and they've put a fence around it. We don't dispute that, and it's very hard to get in on the ground, and they haven't built a roof. And they want the Fourth Amendment to build a roof for them. They want a very special roof. They want one that lets in the rain, lets in the snow, lets in news photographers, apparently lets in people who are just flying over and looking down, maybe lets in people who are taking pictures from higher altitudes, but it doesn't let EPA take photographs that are relevant to its enforcement of the Clean Air Act. And there's no reason why the Fourth Amendment should do that. They can't build a roof, they say, and from that they draw the conclusion that the Fourth Amendment should provide a roof for them. From that, we draw the conclusion that what they have in there is just not private, and they can't expect to keep it private. They certainly can't expect the Fourth Amendment to keep it private.
May I go back to Justice Powell's example? Supposing it were a glass office building, and you could fly over and you had, I don't know if techniques are this sophisticated or not, but you could take pictures through the glass walls or roof that were sufficient detail to read documents on a desk. Any objection to that?
Well, I think there are two different aspects here that come out of Katz. One is whether there's an expectation of privacy in the sense that you can expect that what you have in there can't be seen from the outside. And then there's a second aspect, which is whether what you're seeking to protect is really something private that's at the core of what the Fourth Amendment is trying to protect. In this case, Dow flunks on both counts, I think. I think there is no subjective expectation of privacy. Anyone could take these photographs. They could see that. And secondly, there's really nothing in there that was very private. I mean, this is just an outdoor place, except for the trade secrets, which I've talked about at length already. There's no reason why one would expect the Fourth Amendment to inhibit law enforcement in this way, because there's nothing to protect. Now, there are harder cases where these two different prongs are somewhat in conflict, and you've raised one. I think where you've got a glass building, it may be hard to argue that you've got a subjective expectation of privacy. You may well know that someone can fly over and take photographs through the glass, if that's possible, I don't know, and that will reveal things. On the other hand, what you do have in an office building, and even more so in a home, is something that we have recognized as being more private, and it may be that The rule should be more stringent there when you're trying to protect something of that privacy.
I'm a little puzzled on that on the Dow case. It seems to me you've agreed that they have a privacy interest in keeping people out at ground level from seeing what goes on within. And surely there could be things that happen in the plant that they would like to have the same degree of privacy attached.
No, what I said was that they've taken steps to keep people out. I'm not suggesting that I don't know whether the Fourth Amendment would keep people from going in there or not. I mean, that's the question of whether this is an open field or not. And we don't think it really matters in this case, so we haven't addressed it. I don't know whether.
But if 99 and 99/100ths of the passengers and airplanes and pilots who flew over really couldn't see anything, and it's only the one case out of a million in which you take a sophisticated camera and take a picture, would you say they have no expectation that, in general, their privacy would be respected? Isn't that the fact that it's the unusual case where somebody can look at the kind of stuff they see here?
Well, I don't know that comparing it to the number of commercial air flights is very relevant. I mean, it's just the number of people who come over and take photographs that's relevant. And we have statistics that the FAA says more than 1 million flight hours a year are devoted to aerial photography. I don't think in this context that they really have an expectation that people won't fly over. And as I said, I think that's reflected in the fact that they take such measures to stare at the sky and see whether people are flying over. What I understand your question to be, I think it's just more hypothetical than actually applicable to this case, is if you were really in a position where there was no reason to think that you would ever be observed unless somebody was deliberately trying to do it. I think that presents a more difficult question of expectation of privacy, and I think that the resolution of it might well depend on what sort of a place it was, how private. If it was a home, and the question was whether somebody could see with binoculars from a quarter mile away, you might have a stronger case. If it's outside activity, I'm just not sure that the Fourth Amendment really should be preventing government action in that way. There just isn't anything really important to protect. As the Court, I think, suggested in the opening argument here, I've also had some difficulty in figuring out exactly what the legal principle is that Dow relies on. As I said, it seems to be pretty much that they don't want the government to be able to photograph what they don't want the government to be able to photograph. In their case, they don't mind oblique photography, so they don't consider that to be a Fourth Amendment violation of standing on a nearby hillside. But I think the Court needs to have more of a rule than that, because next week there may be someone here who doesn't like oblique photography.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that they are interested in protecting a trade secret, and they think the trade secret would not be revealed from someone taking a photograph from a hillside?
No, I agree. I think that's what they're saying, Justice Powell.
Yes.
What I'm trying to say is that next week Union Carbide may be here, and they may say that their trade secrets are revealed by photographs taken from a hillside. So
I appreciate the facts can vary widely. My understanding was that this Dow facility was built on a 2,000-acre plant?
A pretty large 2,000-acre tract of land.
I don't know what part of that was covered by the plant, but the record indicates it would not have been feasible to protect it. I'm not at all sure that you're wrong on the Fourth Amendment. I just think we ought to stick to what I understand the facts to be, and that is that this company was trying to protect a trade secret that couldn't be protected if sophisticated equipment was used by airplanes flying over it for the purpose of detecting the secret. Now, you've got a pretty good answer, I think, if I understand it, when you say all the EPA was interested in was the emissions from a smokestack and whatever else you took was incidental. Is that correct?
Well, that's certainly one of our answers. I also dispute whether it's a trade secret, but I'm a little bit unwilling to concede that they're really interested in protecting the trade secret, because I think you have to look at the course of the litigation here. I mean, they found out that EPA had taken these pictures, and they ran in to court. They got an injunction from the district court that prevents any use of the pictures and any future overflights, I think, surveillance or photography by EPA. In fact, I guess they've really conceded away in this court part of what they've won in the district court. And if they were worried about trade secrets, all they had to do was talk to the EPA and say, look, we're really worried about these trade secrets here. You use these pictures for your enforcement action, but we want you to keep them under seal, and we want you to give them back to us when you're done with the enforcement action, and don't blow them up, because that's going to reveal trade secrets. After all, there's no trade secrets on anything that, as I said before, that EPA has other than this potential to blow them up. So I think they're at least partly concerned about EPA flying over and finding out what EPA wants to know, not just about trade secrets. It seems to me that
we had a couple cases a couple years ago. I can't think of the names of them now, from Tennessee, involving Stauffer, where Stauffer was complaining that they didn't want EPA to contract out an inspection because they thought there was a danger of losing some of their trade secrets. Was there any case of contracting out here on the part of EPA, or was it all EPA employees who did the overflight?
Well, the pictures were taken by a local photography concern, and they were immediately, the negatives were put in a parcel and air freighted to EPA, and since that time, I think it's been under control of EPA. I don't think there's any issue like that here. As I said, I found it hard to discern a rule from the contentions that Dow is making. I think the only line that can be drawn from what they are saying is one Court was suggesting early in the argument, which is that naked eye observation is okay, but once you pull out a camera, you're violating the Fourth Amendment. And I just don't think that rule can stand in light of what the Court has said. The court has always recognized that technology can be used to enhance the senses. Said it recently in Knox and going all the way back to the Lee case in the 1920s. That's true on the ground, and there's no reason why it should be equally true from the air. The point is whether there's a legitimate expectation of privacy that is being infringed. If the government uses some sort of space-age technology that's only available to the Pentagon or the military, then a person on the ground probably has a right to assume that he's going to be free from that kind of surveillance. And surveillance of that type probably does violate a reasonable expectation of privacy. If EPA is doing nothing more than taking the same photographs that everyone else is taking, and here again I'll repeat that all they did was hire this local concern and told them to take a picture with their equipment, and this idea that we use sophisticated equipment, it's certainly more sophisticated than a Kodak Instamatic, but it was basically just regular old aerial photography cameras. There's just no expectation to be free from the use of that sort of fairly minor technology. It's just in a time where...
Mr. Horowitz, you seem to agree that if there were space-age technology used, that might be so unusual that it would be unconstitutional. Does that mean that as we get more accustomed to more sophisticated technology, it would no longer be objectionable, so that the constitutional rule will change as scientific developments increase?
Well, I think the short answer to that is that as long as you're going to have a standard where it depends on people's expectations, it's inevitable that those expectations may change with the development of technology. I mean, if this case had come up in 1900, they would have had an expectation that these pictures couldn't have been taken, and in fact, they couldn't have been taken. But I don't think that it means that as technology increases, people will continue to lose more and more of their privacy.
Perhaps if that's the rule, the government could do a very good job of educating everybody as to their great capacity for sophisticated investigation. People would realize that they have to just take those risks.
No, I understand. That's why I said earlier that there are these two prongs to cats, and I think just saying that people have an expectation that they may be subject to a certain intrusion does not necessarily it's not a complete answer, because everybody's familiar with 1984, where the government put cameras in everyone's house, and that would clearly violate the Fourth Amendment, even if they announced it on TV for weeks beforehand and everyone knew about it. So the Fourth Amendment does go beyond what people have, does give it additional protection beyond what the government is willing to confer. But in a context like this, where there is, I still say, very little private interest that's actually involved, and plus the aura that basically what Dow is seeking to do is to prevent the government from doing what everyone else can do. I mean, this is information that is open to the public. And to the extent that trade secret law is a limitation on that, that's something that has to be litigated in a separate trade secret action where the issue would tend to focus on what sort of use is being made of it.
Mr. Horowitz, what I'm now going to ask is immaterial to the case, really, but... You were talking about this garden variety type camera. There's a footnote in the district court's brief that says the camera cost $20,000. That's rather special, isn't it?
It is special, but it is not special for aerial photographers, is what I'm trying to say. And in fact, we have cited to an affidavit which suggested that the same level of detail could have been taken with a 35 millimeter camera. That most people have.
To one half of one.
I'm sorry.
To identify a pipe one half an inch in diameter, I have a 35 millimeter camera.
The finding of the district court. We have a footnote in our brief about the dimensions here. That the scale of the photographs were taken by EPA was on a scale of 1 inch equals 1/4800th of an inch, I believe. I mean, these pictures are not that detailed. Dow seems to have access to some very sophisticated magnification and enlargement equipment, and that's what they said. When they keep enlarging these things, that's what the district court found. They can show up to a half an inch in diameter. I'm not sure I believe that, but if that's the case, I think the same thing could have been done with a 35 millimeter camera. It's obviously not the sort of camera that everybody has in their backyard, but this is the regular. This is basically the commercially available equipment. It's the routine aerial photography equipment, the same thing that Business Week and the real estate developers are using. There's just no aura here of the government bringing in its space-age technology. Let me just say something very briefly about the statute. I think the statutory argument borders on the frivolous here. There's nothing in the statute that suggests that EPA couldn't do this. The argument seems to assume that the photography here was constitutionally offensive. If it was, of course, then you don't have to get to the statutory argument. But assuming that the photography...
That's a little vice versa from our usual ruling, is that if it doesn't violate the Constitution, you don't have to get to the statutory
argument. Well, I understand, but I mean, I guess I'm saying that the statutory argument there is subsumed in the constitutional argument. But I think the statutory argument has to rest on the assumption that the photography was, in fact, constitutional, which we believe it was. And in their reply brief, they suggest that perhaps the statute doesn't authorize it because EPA is not a law enforcement agency. I don't understand why EPA is not a law enforcement agency. The Clean Air Act is a law, I think, and the government is entitled to enforce it, and they're entitled to use the same sort of methods of investigation that private investigators are entitled to use.
May I ask you one last question? What's the state of the record, either supporting or contradicting Judge Merritt's statement that the plant is located within the landing pattern of a nearby airport?
I hate for the last question to be one that I can't answer, Justice Stevens, but I don't know. Thank you.
Do you have anything further?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chief Justice. To answer Justice Stevens' question, there is absolutely no reference in the record that the Dow facility is on any airport approach for the local airport. A few other points to bring
out.
You
think Judge Merritt just made that up?
Your Honor.
He flies airplanes, I understand.
The Dow, in our motion for summary judgment, we did admit, being reasonable as we think we are in this case, that obviously planes fly over or near the plant. But that's a far stretch from saying it's on an airport takeoff and landing pattern. It may have been mentioned during an oral argument by the government.
Well, how far
know.
Is it from an airport?
It's about 10 miles, Justice Rehnquist.
Thanks a lot.
The one-half-inch detail that was mentioned is visible on the original EPA photographs. It has nothing to do with the enlargements. We've heard a lot from the government about Dow's position, Dow's feelings, and Dow's property. I've referred the court to the Dow breach for those statements. We've heard nothing from the government about justification for what the EPA did, and I would bring that to the court's attention. The government states that it doesn't know whether the Fourth Amendment would keep people out of the Dow plant. Well, we'd like to remind the government that the Fourth Amendment was written to oblige the government to control itself. It does not apply to private parties. In this case, Dow is asking for the status quo. The case law of this court shows that commercial, non-public areas are entitled to Fourth Amendment protection, is mutually exclusive from an open field. Finally, it's law of this court that the use of technology to intrude into the private details of a protected place is an unreasonable search. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next in California against Cerevo.